Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Thank God for this wonderful day. This is a beautiful day that the Lord has made. Let us all be thankful. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We thank God for that. So as we make ready to go into our prayer this morning, we want to pray for all of the things that are happening and all of the people that have been affected by the storms and everyone that is being affected now with the blackouts and maybe out of water and all of those things. We pray that the Lord, you know, he's making a way. He's going to make a way. And he's going to continue to make a way in the midst of all the chaos and all the things that are happening. We just have to trust and believe that he is God. No matter what's happening, no matter why it's happening, no matter where it's happening, he's still God. And we thank him anyway and anyhow for all that he's done, all that he's doing, and all that he is going to do. We also want to pray for all those for the sick and the bereavement and anyone that have lost loved ones, friends, and families and all that. And we thank God for that. Anyone that go through all of the illnesses that they're dealing with in their physical bodies, whether whatever disease or manner of disease or whatever the failure or the functionality of their kidneys or whatever other problems that they may be dealing with, we want to pray for those individuals as well. So we thank the Lord again for this chance and opportunity he has given us, and he's always given us, to be able to bless the name of the Lord. So we thank him and we praise him. Praise him for everything and all things. So let us make ready. Let's go into our prayer. And those of you that can bow your heads and able to focus on what we are praying about and pray with us for what we're praying about this morning for everyone and all the things that are happening all over the land. And those that have really been affected again by the storm, may have lost their home, maybe have lost a loved one, maybe even some of the one that they have known, family members may be gone, and everything they had may be lost. So we want to pray that the Lord will give them strength and confidence in him, that he will make a way through all of what's happening. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for this chance. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you each and every time that you allow us to come here to this radio station to share your word, Father, with people. Father, we pray that, Father, that you hear our prayers and our requests. We know that you see us. You know what's going on. You know what's going to happen before it happens. You already know the reason why it happens. And Father, we just thank you for still being God, no matter what. Even if you don't perform your act of love and kindness when we want you to. But we know that you're God, that you do things in your own time. That we would have the patience and the confidence and understanding that still in the midst of all of it that's happening or has happened right now, Father, that we know and we trust and we believe you at your word for what you're going to do and what you're doing and what you shall do in and out of everything that's going on and around where everything that's going on. We praise you right now. We lift you up. We just want to thank you right now. Thank you for what you, for your love and your kindness and your long suffering. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for every chance and opportunity that you've given us. And that chance and opportunity that you give us when we are allowed to awake and to arise out of our beds. That you've given us with the breath that we breathe in these bodies, Father. And we thank you. We also want to pray that the people, Father, will hear your voice and see what's going on around them, that they would heed to your word for the effectiveness of things that are happening around us with the storm, with all of the diverse things that are happening and all of the killings and everything, the hatred and bitterness, that things are being allowed that are happening right before our eyes, that you have said in your word that in the last and evil day, the perilous time, difficult time shall be here. It is here right now. And Father, let us heed this warning that you're letting us know that it's time to turn to you. Turn to you. Lean on you. Depend on you. Not just by word of mouth. Not just by church attendance. But by committing our hearts and our life and our minds and our soul to you. Thank you, Jesus. Again, you've given us another chance. You've given us another opportunity. Because while we're able to speak right now, that's a chance and opportunity. And if anyone that is listening right now, they've been given another chance and opportunity. If they've been able to open their eyes and hear your voice through my voice right now, they've given another chance and opportunity. No matter what, even through the storm, even through the rain, even through whatever the tragedy has been, if they're alive right now and listening, that's another chance and opportunity. So we thank you, Jesus. Thank you for letting us and allowing us to see another day. Thank you, and we don't take it lightly. We praise you. We glorify your holy name, Father, that you will adhere to our voice. You hear our prayers. And Father, give us a repentant prayer first before we beg and ask you for all things and everything that we need. That we recognize that we need to be forgiven of all our sins and anything that we've done out of disobedience and hard heart and stiff-necked in our own ways. Father, help us to see ourselves, that we can turn our hearts and mind unto you. Seek you out while you may be found. Call upon you while you are near. Father, we thank you. We praise you right now, Jesus. We give you the glory, Jesus. Somebody that have lost a loved one. Somebody may have lost their home. Somebody have lost someone near and dear to them, or all the things that they've ever had, or all their belongings, and everything that is gone. But give them confidence. Give them strength. Give them the understanding that they tap into the faith and believe you and trust you at your word, no matter what. No matter what. You are still right there. You're still right here being able to bless us, and you will bless us if we just adhere to your word. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your love and kindness. We give you praise. Father, and we acknowledge you in all our ways that you might direct our path. We praise you. We lift you up. Thank you, Jesus. Touch right now. Touch right now. Touch right now. And Father, we ask that you give all of the electrical technicians, Father, the knowledge how to be able to fix, Father, the problem with all of the electrical problems. Father, we may be able to have what we need, Father, to carry out our everyday living. We thank you right now. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify you forevermore. In Jesus' name, we say amen. We thank the Lord, we say amen. Amen, 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 amen. We love the Lord, we thank God for him. We thank God for the Lord, for who he is, for what he has done and what he is going to do. He is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be lifted up. We just magnify, we thank him today. We just bless his name. And we just give him the glory. We give him the thanksgiving. Lord, we so thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you right now. We're just giving him thanksgiving right now for a moment. We thank you right now, Lord, for all you've done. No matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, no matter what it is right now, Jesus, you're the one that we need in our lives. Help us, Father, that when we hear this word, or when the people hear this word, that it will have an effect on them, that it will touch their hearts, that it will touch their minds, that it will cause them to look in the mirror, and it will cause them to look around us, look around themselves, look around right now, and see the things that are going on around us. See the storms in diverse places. You see the hate, we see the bitterness, we see the dying. We see it right now. We see it. We're looking at all of the stuff that's going on that your word has spoken that would happen. And Father, that those things that we see, we pray that it will help turn us to you, or turn those that are lost or haven't decided to seek you or commit to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And for those of us that trust you and believe you, help us to stay on our praying ground, Father. And help us to be the witness and be the one that can be helpers to one another. Father, that we will show love and kindness. We thank you right now, Jesus. We're just lifting you up right now. We're just praising you for what you have done. We're praising you for what you do. And we're praising you for what you're going to do. We know you're still in control. We know you still got things in your hand. We're not going to panic. Oh, God, we know you're still in charge. Father, we thank you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love and kindness. Thank you for everything that you've done. Someone may have lost everything, their loved ones. Someone may be hurting. Someone may be stricken with disease. And all the things that's happening, as I've said before, and that I'm repeating right now, Father, that you would touch the hearts and the minds of people. Father, as the word go forth today, we pray that your word today, your word, Father, that would speak through my voice. They would hear your voice through my voice. And Father, give instruction and directions as to how we should go forward from this day forward. Father, we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love and kindness. Thank you for your tender mercy. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Woo, let's call his name Jesus. Call on Jesus right now. Or if you couldn't call on him before, it's time to call on him. It's time to call his name right now. It's time to recognize him right now. It's time to give him praise right now. It's time to give him glory right now. It's time to call on him right now. If there's never been a time before to call on him, it's a time now to call him right now. Call his name. Call his name Jesus. Call his name Jesus. All power. All power has been given to him in heaven and in earth. Calling on the name of Jesus. You're going to need Jesus. We need him right now. We need him right now. Come on, let's give him the glory. Come on, let's give him the praise. Come on, let's give him the thanksgiving. Thank him for all the things, no matter what's happening right now, no matter what has happened, he's still a good God, and he's still an almighty God, and he's still a powerful God. We give him praise. Oh, yes, we give him praise. We give him praise. We give him praise today. We give him praise. Oh, you ought to be ready to call his name now. That precious name. That name of Jesus. Yes, we're talking about Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Do what you do best, Lord. Do what you do best. You're always a blessing. You're always a healer. You're always a deliverer. Woo, Lord, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you right now, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love and kindness and your tender mercy. Thank you. Amen and amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise. Thank God for another day. Amen. We bless the name of the Lord. We give him praise. We give him the glory. And we give him the thanksgiving. All right. We're getting ready to turn your attention into the Bible. Into the Bible, in the book of Revelations. Again, if you can, turn your attention to the Bible, in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. I'm still dealing with this verse, these two verses, but there's something else I want to bring out in these verses this morning. In chapter 20, verse 12 and 13, you see, as you may understand in Revelation, from verse 11 all the way down, we're dealing with the final judgment. The final judgment of all things, where everyone will be judged, no matter whether they're already gone in the grave, no matter whether they're still alive here, all shall be judged. But we want to bring this to your attention as an alarm to you, that you may realize that it's time to stop putting it aside. Stop procrastinating. Stop just because you think you attend church regularly, thinking that that's good enough, or thinking that that is enough. It's the perfect thing to do, yes. But today we want to give you something to even more to think about. The thing I want to talk about today is, in a subject, if I would choose in the reading of these scriptures, is death is not the last stop. Death is not the final stop. Amen. So here in Revelation, It reads in verse 12. Chapter 20, verse 12. He said, "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they or what he had done." We're going to pause there. We're going to read this again in your hearing in another way. It's pretty much the same, but to give you even more clarity. But we want you to think about everyone, each person will be judged according to the things that they have done, or the things that they do while they're living. And if they leave and if they haven't been forgiven or repented of, they will be judged for what they had done. Again, I say, he said, "And I saw the dead, the great, the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done as written in the books. That is everything done while on earth. That means you're going to have to pay for everything that has been done while you live in this body on this earth." And he said, no matter where the deaf or the dead, where they are right now, even if those that are dead that was lost at sea, even though they were lost in plane crashes, even though they were lost where we didn't recover their bodies or remains, this lets us know, "And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades," which means hell, "the realm of the dead, surrendered the dead who were in them, and they were judged." They were judged and sentenced, everyone according to their deeds. Everyone according to their deeds. So we live in a life that we need to understand it's time to repent. It's time to truly repent for all the deeds, all the things that have been done or being done in these bodies right now. We can't wait until we get on our final breath of our life and then think about all the things that we have done. Well, even then, you don't want to wait, but even if you get to that point and wait, and then if you have the breath in your body to be able to do so, then you need to do that. But my point is, you don't need to wait until that time come to get to that, because the problem is that we don't know how things are going to happen in our lives. We don't know when, we don't know where, we don't know what time. So why would we play Russian roulette with our lives and not realize and not even understanding when we may be taken away from here? Now we see right now with an example of what has happened in these surrounding cities and towns, from Humphrey counties to Montgomery County, all the way out to the eastern areas, where this storm came through and was destructive into every place and every city and every town in some way or some form or another. Some have lost their lives. Some have lost homes. Some may be still alive, may be missing something else. But the ones that have lost their lives, they're gone now. But they won't be able to, if they didn't do it before, even for us as well, we don't do it now, we won't get a second chance. It's important that this is urgent, that we recognize that it's time to repent. We may put it off, try to keep putting it off, try to keep throwing it off, and try to keep putting it in a sense where that we would rather enjoy sin for a season, hallelujah, than to enjoy the Lord for one day. One day, what one day? One day at a time. And the problem with what we always plan to do, that what we fail to understand, we don't know the outcome of our plans. We might make plans about what we want to do. We might make plans of what we desire to do. But it doesn't mean that we're going to know the ins and outs of those plans. This is why the Bible records in Revelation when these churches that were sent a warning each time. Each time they was recognized and telling them what may happen, what they're going to be judged by. Hallelujah. In the church in Ephesus, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. He said, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have been tested, those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have perceived and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Hallelujah. He said, but yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. And he comes back to let us know. He said, repent and do the things you did first. He says, if you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from this place. This is in Revelation chapter 2. A church in Ephesus. Here he telling them he already know your deeds. We can't get away from the Lord no matter how we try. We can't hide anything from him if we're trying to hide anything at all. It's going to come a time that we just read in Revelation 20 that the books will be open. The things that we do, the things that we say, how we act, whatever, is being recorded as I speak. Hallelujah. Being recorded as I speak, and we each, every individual is going to have to pay the penalty if they do not repent, if they do not act on what the Lord is wanting them to do right now. You say, well, Pastor, why are all these things important to what you're saying? Have you not listened to what I said before? Look around you, what's happening. If the storms have hit this close to home and have taken lives so close to you and right there beside you, is that not enough for you to recognize that it's time to get it together? Is that not enough to let you know that it's time to wake up? Is that not enough to let you know it's time to give the Lord his due, his praise, to give him the glory? Hallelujah. To give him all that you have. You see, we can do all the things that we desire, but if it doesn't glorify the Lord, it does us no good. So I'm giving you the scripture to all the warnings here. All the churches that he warned. Everyone is going to have to leave this world. As I said, my subject was death is not the last stop. You say, why do you say that? Well, we read it. And we read it here in Revelation. He says, now I'm going to move on and finish reading that to the part where I'm getting to on that. Amen. So he says here in Revelation again, and letting us know, what am I saying here? He says, I'm going to go back to 13 and begin there and bring it down to where I want to point out my point. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead. Hell gave up death. Here it is. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and hell gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. The 14th verse is the reason I tell you today that death is not the last stop. The death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Into the lake of fire. You say, if that's not enough, if that's not enough to scare you or put enough fear in you of respecting and honoring God for what he is trying to get us to do, for what he is trying to get us to understand, then you have a serious problem. Then you really need to pray and repent then. If this doesn't register with you. It continued to tell us in Revelation to warn all the different churches of all the things that they've done, no matter what church you're in, where you go, the deeds that are done in these bodies, the deeds that are done while you walk this earth, they're things that you've done, they are being written down. They are being recorded. And all the foul language and all the unforgiveness and all the hate and all the bitterness and all the rage and all the anger on the inside is being recorded. It's being recorded. He tells us in Revelation in the church of Smyrna at verse 11, say, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Look at that. If you listen, if you take heed to the word, you will not be harmed by the second death. Huh? You will not be hurt by the second death. Hallelujah. But nevertheless, he says to Thyatira here, to the church of Thyatira, in verse 20, he said, nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her, hallelujah, suffer intensely, good God Almighty, unless they repent of her ways. You see, I'm telling you that it doesn't matter who you are, you're going to have to repent. He even goes on to say, if you have any children, I will strike her children dead. Then all churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will, here he says again, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. According to your deeds. According to anything that you've done. So I'm trying to alarm you this morning that there's nothing that you've done or doing. You might can hide it from me, but I'm not the one that you got to worry about. I'm not the one you got to worry about, or any other minister or preacher, whoever he is, or any servant of God, or any Christian, or any believer of God, because if they themselves are not blemished or unblemished, then they're going to have to be paid according to their deeds as well. My point to you is, your deeds you do in your body, you're going to have to pay the penalty for unless you repent. You see, this thing about salvation and eternal life is personal. It's personal, and it's a one-on-one thing. Hallelujah. It's not about if you go, I'm going with you. It's not about we going together. No, you're going to have to make up your own mind for yourself whether you want to be and live and be with Jesus someday. You're going to have to make up your mind about that. You're going to have to make up your mind about that. In the church in Sardis, he said the same thing, the warning he gives. To the angel of the church in Sardis, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. I know your deeds. See, I'm reading these verses in these churches for the reason of the deeds that I'm pointing out to you. He said, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. But you're dead. He says, wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Not going to know. Not going to know. Not going to know. You see, we're not going to escape anything that we've done that's not like God, that doesn't add up to his word, that doesn't emulate his word. He's going to pay everyone according to the deed. So again, back to your hearing in Revelation 20 again. Yes, I'm repeating this because I'm trying to register this to your mindset. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades, the hell, the realm of dead, surrendered the dead who were in them. And they were judged and sentenced, everyone according to their deeds. I've mentioned to you, you see, people have made this statement, and I might have said this before. People make the statement when people die, they say that they're better off. How do you know that? You don't. You can't say because you've seen them suffering while here living on this earth. And that once they're gone on, you're saying they're in a better place. You can't say they're in a better place because you don't know what their personal relationship was like with Jesus or not. You don't know, and a lot of people, and like even young people and even gangsters and all of them that call themselves gangs and want to be hardcore and want to be bad, want to be mean and taking people's lives, and they think that's going to make them a martyr or build up a reputation, and they think that's going to make them great and big in the end, but it will not. And then they think that they don't mind dying for that cause, but you ain't never been dead before. You don't know what dead is. You don't know what dead is like. But Revelation gives you a glimpse of what this thing is going to be like. You see, that's why I told you here that death is not the last stop. There's another stage you're going to go through. You see, death and hell is just the beginning of memory of what you would have, could have, should have done and taught you of the eternal damnation of what it's going to be like. That means you're going to feel the remnants of torture or remember the things of what you should have, could have, when you had the time to do it, but you didn't do it. Hallelujah. Torments and torture. But then that second death is going to come when you're thrown into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire, of this lake of fire, is like a fire that's unquenchable. It's unquenchable. You can't change the temperature. You can't stop it. You can't cool it off. You can't jump back. You can't leave. You can't say, I'm sorry, and it'll cool down or stop. It will not happen. And the most impactful thing about this lake of fire is that you will burn. Your intense soul will burn as if you were still in your flesh, alive on earth, feeling the pain over and over again, but never burn up. And burn intensely over and over and over and over again. And there will be weeping and moaning and groaning and whining and the gnashing of your teeth and begging and crying and wanting to get out. But you can't go nowhere. You can't go nowhere. The rich man and Lazarus had a glimpse of what it's like. The rich man fell to death, as the Bible writes, that he gone to hell because of he was more wrapped up in his riches than he was about serving God. And so when he died and he left this world and he opened his eyes in the depths of the torments of hell. See, he hadn't made it to the lake of fire, but he was in the torments of hell and the memories of death and remembering what he could or should have done, but he didn't, because he didn't commit his life to God. He didn't obey God's word. All he was concerned with what he wanted to do, the way he wanted to do it. It doesn't say that a rich man can't get to heaven, but when his mind is more so on the things that he have earned or what he have accumulated, then his mind will not be to be ready and willing to commit his life to Christ. And this is where I am today, is saying to you that we cannot allow ourselves, or you cannot allow yourselves, to be wrapped up, tied up in the pleasures of this world, because the pleasures of this world will never end. You'll never get enough in all the riches and the fame and the materialistic things of this world. Because when you leave here, none of those things or none of that stuff, not even the pleasure, not even the enjoyment, you will not take any of that with you. And in the pay of what you will get, we've read the minimum time about the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the wages of sin is death. And so many ask a question, why God would send somebody to hell? No, God don't send you to hell. Jesus doesn't send you to hell. Sin causes you to go to hell. Sin will cause you to go into torments and torture and the lake of fire if you don't repent. If you don't repent. And she gave up the dead. See, everything that's dead and gone, they're going to have to get up. It's going to have to get up. Hallelujah. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing. Look at what he said. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Standing before the throne. Standing before the throne. The books are open to each, for every person, individual, and it was open, which is the book of life, to see what is there recorded. And the dead were judged according to what? To what they had done, as written in the books. To what that had been done while you, for everything that you had done while you were on earth. That's what it's talking about. To everything that was done while you're on earth. That's what I'm trying to drive home. That's what I'm driving home today. Putting this off, trying to be smart mouthed, being a smart aleck, and throwing out all these antics and running around and doing things as if you got it made and it's okay that nobody can stop you and that you're invincible, that you can't be touched and all of that. Don't matter about all that you're thinking that. But one day, brothers and sisters, one day, we all gonna have to leave this world. We all gonna have to pass through those stages of death. Hallelujah. We all gonna have to pass through the stages of standing in the day of judgment. We gonna have to do it. We gonna have to stand in the day of judgment and let our deeds be read off to us. And we're gonna pay according to the deeds. The deed that were done. The works that were done while we live on this earth, why we live on this earth, why we live in this earth, why we are living now, the deeds are going to cause us to lose if we're not careful. When we get to the Church of Laodicea, this is one we really need to pay attention to. All of them we need to pay attention to, but this is one we really need to pay attention to. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witnesses, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one of the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, he says, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. Hallelujah. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Hallelujah. 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 To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The final judgment. The final judgment. The final judgment is something that you need to be concerned with. The final judgment is the one that you need to be paying attention to, because the final judgment is coming. The final judgment is going to come someday, and that day is not far off. Hallelujah. It's not far off that we are going to pay a penalty of those of us if have not, hallelujah, if have not adhered to his word. We're going to have to understand that the Lord's word is true. Hallelujah. The Lord's word is true and it's just. Hallelujah. You're either going to have to do it or not. But one thing you need to remember, one thing you need to remember is that all of us is going to pay a penalty if we don't. But if you repent, the Lord says he will cover that thing and he will throw it in the sea of forgiveness and remember it no more. So repentance is important that we would do that right away. Hallelujah. Do this right away. Do this right now. He's calling now that you would repent. He's calling now that you would understand. Hallelujah. He's calling now that you would adhere to him, that you would yield to him, that you would hear his voice. Hallelujah. That you would listen to what he's says right now. He's waiting for you. He's standing at the door knocking right now. Standing at the door waiting for you to come to him. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous thoughts. Let him turn unto the Lord. Forsake the ways of this world Hallelujah. Forsake the ways of this world. Hallelujah. Give up the things of this world. Commit yourself to Jesus. It's time, you all. It's time. It's time. It's time that we will realize that time is running out. Time is running out, and it's running out rapidly, very fast. It's running out to whereas we see the evidence of the storms and the earthquakes and all the other things in diverse places. But are we going to take heed? Are we going to take heed to the word of the Lord today? Or are we just going to put it off? Or are we going to go through the phase, I'm trying? Trying is a good start. But trying shouldn't be the ending start. Trying is to get started, to start doing. To make it happen. To do it right away. To do what thus said the Lord. Not putting it off over and over again. Not allowing the adversary to tell you, you got time, you're young, you don't have to worry about nothing. You're going to live to this, such and such and such. That's just deception that he's using to keep you off balance so that you won't recognize what time it is for your life. Oh, you go to church, that's good enough. You to attend every Sunday regularly. Hallelujah. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. Hallelujah. That's not good enough. Hallelujah. You got to yield. Yield to the word of the Lord. Yield and repent to the word of the Lord. To accept his word now. To receive his word now. Hallelujah. 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 Do not fall unto seductive spirits and things that are causing you to be lost or misled. I'm taking it slow like a slow rain. But we have to adhere to the word of the Lord. I'm telling you, death is not the last stop. I've just given you scripture in Revelation. That the dead that in death gonna have to be given up. And one that may be in the torments of hell and danger gonna have to give it up. You know, as if that wasn't enough, so now you're gonna be thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire. 2 Timothy chapter 4 declares this. He says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom. He said, preach the word. He said, preach the word as an official and messenger at all times. He said, be ready when time is right and even when it is not. Keep your sense of urgency, whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether convenient or inconvenient, whether welcome or unwelcome. Correct those who err in the doctrine or behavior. Warn those who sin. Exhort and encourage those who are growing towards spiritual maturity. With inexhaustible patience and faithful teaching. For the time will come. The time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine. And accurate instruction that challenges them with God's truth. But wanting to have their ears tickled with something pleasing. They will accumulate for themselves many teachers one after another chosen to satisfy their own desires and to support the errors they hold. and will turn their ears away from the truth and will wander off in myths and man-made fictions and will accept the unacceptable. But as for you, be clear-headed in every situation. Stay calm and cool and steady. Endure every hardship without flinching. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill the duties of your ministry. That's what the man of God is supposed to do. For I am ready. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure from this world is at hand. And I will soon go free. Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. Paul goes on to tell him, he said, I have fought the good and worthy and noble fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith, firmly guarding the gospel against error. So in the future, there is reserved for me the victor's crown of righteousness for being right with God and doing right, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that great day, and not me only, but also to all those who have loved and longed for and welcomed his appearing. I beg of you today to turn, to turn, to turn, to turn from your wicked ways. To turn, to repent. If you've never repented before, call on to the Lord and tell him you're sorry. Don't do it just one time. Do it until you know that God is adhering to your prayer. Isaiah 55, 6, and 7 tells us, and I give it to you today. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. He'll forgive you. It's one thing so great about the Lord. Doesn't matter how big, how hard, how terrible, how devastating or whatever it is that you're into right now, that he can't forgive. He can forgive you of anything because he has all power. He has all power of life and death in his hands. Don't you want to turn today? Aren't you ready to turn to Jesus? Aren't you ready to accept him now? We're going beyond just regular church attendance and regular your programming and your regular routine that you've been going through in life. We're past it. I said that before. We're past all that. We're at the place where there's one-on-one. One-on-one. One-on-one time and talk and challenge with Jesus. Just read you Isaiah 55, 6, and 7. He even quoted it. Let the wicked forsake his way. Not only his way, even his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord. You say, why turn? Because God created all of us. God created all of us. We were made in his image and in his likeness of this flesh. And he doesn't want us to be lost. And a lot of people ask the question, then, if God's such a great and loving God, well, why would he allow such things to happen? I said to you before, God didn't do it. Sin did it. Because when he told Adam not to touch the forbidden fruit of knowledge of good and evil, he said, the day that you do this, you will surely die. Will surely die. You'll die. You're going to separate yourself from me. You're going to have problems in your fleshly body. And then you're going to die in your fleshly body if you don't repent. And then you're going to yield to punishment in your fleshly body. Why? Because of sin. Sin, S-I-N. Selfish indulgence by your own nature. Your nature. Don't you want to turn today? Don't you want to turn today? If you want to turn today, pray the Lord's Prayer. And not only pray the Lord's Prayer, then ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord to forgive me, Lord Jesus. Lord, I need you in my life more than ever before. I need you, and I admit that I have committed sinful things against you. I admit that I've been hard-hearted, stiff-necked, unforgiving, and disobedient. I admit that I didn't want to hear your words at one time. I didn't want to hear, like sometimes the preacher come on the radio or on the highway or mama them trying to tell me something. If I go to church or whatever, I get an itching ear and don't want to hear the truth. I admit, Lord. I admit, Lord, that I've been going to church for years and years and years, and I pretended to be a Christian and pretended to believe your word, but I've never received what I really need from you in your word. Lord, forgive me that I've been preaching and ministering the word, but look like I'm missing something myself. You see, I'm young, Lord, and I've been thinking just because young, I have time to put this off, but I don't have time to put it off. Lord, I need some forgiveness. See, I'm giving you an example for everybody that needs it, whatever situation that they're dealing with right now, that they can call on you, they can repent. Lord, I've been hard-headed in my life. There have been times I didn't want to listen. Even as I've gotten older, I've been set in my ways and not want to listen to what you have to tell me. But now that I understand your word even more, I want to change now, Lord. I need you to come into my heart and my life. And this prayer, you need to pray consistently, asking him until the Holy Spirit comes. As you continue to repent daily, to seek him. And tell him, thank you, Jesus. I give you glory. I give you praise. That I will commit my life to you from this day forward. Walk in your precepts and your statutes in Jesus' name. And you would say amen and amen. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your praise, your grace and mercy. We honor you. Let someone hear this message. Say, Lord, God bless. May the peace of God be with you. Amen.
You've been listening to the broadcast of Focus to Change Ministries. Please join us next Sunday, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock a.m. WONA FM 95.1. And remember, if you make the choice, Jesus will make the change. God bless you.